Sorry. Okay, we are good.
Thank you. All right, I'd like to call the February 15th Ways and Means meeting to order. Resolution 28, dedicating funding to implement the Ulster County Respite House policy. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Fabiana, second. Discussion? Mr. Walter?
I just want to say that this was approved unanimously in the ARP committee. And that's it. Thanks.
Any other questions, comments? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 30, funding capital project 599, ARP nonprofit, as presented before you. You should have all received an email later this afternoon with an amendment.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second, Mr. Walter, discussion? Mr. Rock?
Thanks. To me, the amendment, as well-spirited as it is actually worse than just letting the executive's office pick the awardees themselves. I understand that the way it's written, first off, I just want to say that I don't really care how tacitly the executive's approval by not vetoing the resolution is to having people on this committee. There is absolutely nothing in the charter that gives us the authority to appoint people to an RFP committee controlled by the executive. This is a way for the executive to try to seem like he's giving us some say in where these grants are going to go. You know, one way that we could do it that would be, I think, more effective than this would be to require that the grants come back to the legislature for approval, even if they're under $50,000. To require, even if it were to be an abstract of the grant awardees. But once we give this money, if every grant is $49,999, we're never going to see this again. In addition to that, the language, artfully written, Legislative Council, just to your credit, you know, it sounds awesome in that it says that we are going to have at least two members on the committee appointed by the chair of the legislature. I know that some people believe that that means that we could have more than two people if the executive decides to put 10 people from, you know, the different departments on there. But in the end, everyone just buckle up, because it is going to be two legislators versus way more than two members of the executive's committee. So while we may have a seat at the table, it's a very quiet seat. You know, and again, you know, when we do last minute changes to things, this is what you get. You get things that are not necessarily enforceable. You get things that are not necessarily going to improve the product. And in the end, we're just going to have, you know, something that would have been entirely under the executive's office. And then not only, you know, under his office for the purposes of, you know, pats on the back and credit, but also responsibility. And by putting legislators on this committee, which we don't have the authority to do, you know, what we're doing is we're lending credibility to something that I don't think deserves credibility. I don't think this is ready yet. And if the legislature really wanted to have a backbone and stand up for ourselves and our constituents, we would administer the program ourselves rather than giving the executive $1.5 million to hand out in a bunch of photo ops. That's all I've got to say.
Walter?
Not quite sure where to start, but I appreciate the idea of engaging the legislature in this process. I also appreciate the points made by Legislator Ronk about the idea that we would really, the only way to be engaged would be to have some place in the process where once these were going to be awarded. It does make me think, you know, in many ways, I think of this as what we're doing instead of legislative programs right now. It's, and no disrespect to legislative programs, a slightly better approach than what we were doing, because there is some level of matrix and some level of input to allow it. And in that case, with legislative programs, it actually always would come to Ways and Means after they made their decision about the allocation. It wouldn't stop with legislative programs. So it's an interesting concept to me of how we could involve the legislature once the distribution is considered. I don't think it's just this one, but it might be relevant to think about when it comes to the small businesses. Like, do we ever get a part in looking at those? And I guess I'd be interested in just hearing from the executive's office their thoughts on that concept of whether it would make, what would be the feasibility, or would there be pushback against us being able to review those allocations, which aren't minimal. I mean, you know, it could be, I don't remember the range, was it like 5 to 50,000? So, you know, they're considerable amounts, and you know, we wouldn't want to be looking at hundreds and hundreds of $1,000 gifts, but you know, those are big ones. So yeah, I would like to hear from the executive's office their thoughts on that.
Thank you. So I mean, having just received this ourselves, we're certainly open to legislative participation and involvement in the scoring process of the applications. So for this program, for what we're doing here, we have no objection to this. So.
Walter?
Yeah, to clarify, my question was the not official proposal put out by Legislator Ronk of once the decision of allocations are made, allowing Ways and Means to have a final review of those. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's already gonna, you know, I don't know. I guess I have to think about that part of it. It's not included in this resolution as amended in terms of now going to an additional committee for approval. I know that I envisioned us going back to the ARP committee as kind of that review, but I didn't think in terms of other additional committees. I feel like with this process as defined, we are going to a lot of committees just to get the appropriation. We'll be involving, if this passes, we'll certainly be working with the legislators to review each application for the nonprofit bucket. So I don't know. I'd have to consider that.
Thanks. I don't know where Deputy Executive Kelly reads in this resolution that they've got to come back to us for diddly. I don't think that once we approve this expenditure, if the expenditures are below $50,000, the county executive could walk around the county all by himself with oversized checks like they do at golf. So I it sounds really great to say, oh, of course we were going to come back and review them with the ARP committee. But, you know, again, this is the Ways and Means Committee, that our one chance to review expenditures is when we approve the expenditures. And that's what we're doing here, is we're approving $1.5 million for the executive to hand out big checks to not-for-profits. And if they are under $50,000, he doesn't have to come back to us for anything. He doesn't even, unless I'm reading this resolution wrong and somebody can correct me, I'm not even sure he has to give us a report of who got the grants. You know, we could foil it. But this is our one shot. That's why I don't support moving forward on this, because, you know, without reporting, without, I was under the, It's actually worse than I thought it was, because I was under the impression the executive's office had already signed off on, you know, the amendment. And the first thing that Deputy Executive Kelly says is he hasn't really seen it, so he hasn't really thought through the whole thing yet. And here we are, it's tonight, we're going to vote on it. So I don't know. I think that there's a real rush here. I know the executive is in a super duper rush to spend this money. But I'm, you know, I've always been taught, you know, ever since I was a young man or younger man, I guess, depending on who I'm talking to, you know, I've been taught to, you know, measure twice and cut once. And I feel like we're cutting here before we measure a little bit.
Deputy Kelly, then Legislator Fabiano, then the team.
Thank you. So just in terms of if we award contracts, we'll have to set up vendors in the system. So that would all be transparent and available to be audited either by the comptroller or fiscal staff. So it's not going to go out the door without checks and balances or a view into it. And I would presume that if we're sitting on a scoring committee with other legislators, that they would also be having that input and seeing each application as they came forward. That to me is what the intent is of the resolution as amended.
Just point of order, Mr. Chairman, if I could, just to follow up on what Deputy Executive Kelly just said. So you're saying that the legislature could stop these expenditures once the vendors are set up of course, afterwards we can audit things and we can see about it. But again, there's no legislative action or comptroller's action, quite frankly, without criminality or something like that, that could stop the expenditures from happening in the first place. So my point is, once we appropriate this money, the executive's office can spend it as it pleases, as long as it's under $50,000.
Sounds like he's agreeing with that.
Okay.
You're shaking your head. I assume you're agreeing with what Legislator Ronk was saying.
No, I mean, certainly not the tone or the rhetoric of it. What I'm agreeing to is the fact that we're asking for an appropriation of $1.5 million to fund this program as designed and as presented in the amended resolution. So I don't think getting into the back and forth on that is helpful. So no, I don't agree.
So so I just want to be clear. You do not agree with the facts that I'm saying, that once this resolution's passed, it does not have to come back to the legislature unless the contracts individually are over $50,000. So you don't agree with that?
No, I didn't agree with how it was presented. I do agree with the rules and the procurement rules that are within the charter. Of course I do.
I don't understand what you're meaning by, could you expand upon, your comments about what you don't agree with?
Let's move along with this. It's the tone is what he's objecting to.
He can object to whatever he wants. It doesn't make what I'm saying any less true.
Okay. Legislator Fabiano.
Yes. What I'm gathering here is that I think a lot of this has to do with policy, which I think the legislature has total control over. And why would we allow him to get this $1.7 million and divvy it up and let him earmark it where, and then come back to us? Why can't this committee have a say in the earmarking of this money from the beginning and before it gets sent out? That's what I don't like about it.
Turned off my video. I was appointed to this committee along with Legislator Roberts when we put together the bucket of ARPA money and had broken it down into specific, communities, capital projects, whatever, to start distributing. We discussed how to do it quite a bit. And we reviewed in Public Works the application. I have mixed feelings. I think moving forward, I would like to pull back and have more involvement as far as distribution of the money. But we did receive this in July. We had work groups that were meeting through December. And our last meeting of the not-for-profit work group, we had opted to put these applications out in January. We're already a month behind now. And I had hopes that some of the not-for-profits, and of course they were ones where we had pulled funding back during COVID. So we had gone again through half a year where some of these organizations thought they were going to get funding, only to find out that they did not. And I would like to start the distribution process. I think it's disingenuous to hold on to it unless, we're ready to move forward immediately on our own, take that application and put it into a subcommittee of the ARPA group and start the application and distribution process that way. But I think continuing to hold back on it is just, we're not going to get the money out to where it needs to be.
Legislator Walter.
Thank you. So just to clarify what I'm understanding, and I don't know if it's right, but what I understand is the intent of the amendment is to allow at least a couple of legislators to be a part of the conversation and have input into these different programs that are getting funded, which I support. But what I am hearing from Legislator Ronk and elsewhere is that we actually legally can't add that section. That my concern is not that section per se, personally, but the legality of whether we can't. So I guess my point is, if we can't be there at the table during the process of deciding, you know, contributing to the conversation to how this gets allocated, where can we be? And does it make sense then, if this is truly not allowed, that we request an amendment that actually says, and we've done this like with Tech City, where even if it was under 50,000, that the cumulative was over and that we would review those. But that's my question was to the executive's office, is if we can't come in here at the beginning, where can we come in?
Right.
In a way that would then satisfy those of us who want this to happen, because I do, but also want to have at least a representative at the table when these decisions are made.
Legislator Ronk, then Deputy Executive Ryder, then Kelly.
Thanks. You know, to Legislator Walter's point, I'm not against having legislators at the table, and I don't disagree that the executive can let legislators at the table. My issue is we cannot dictate to the to the executive that there are members at his table, how many members are at his table. That's just not within our power under the charter. Now, he could, as Councilor Ragucci, I believe, has said to several legislators, it's been relayed back to me, you know, he can tacitly agree by letting them at the table, but the resolution says at least two, right? So that means that, you know, if he were to agree to the language and not veto it and then tacitly allow folks from the legislature at the table, then he has to appoint at least two. But it doesn't say anything about having to appoint more than two. So the executive could put nine people from the executive's office on this committee, from the executive's departments, and two legislators. And to me, what point is that? You know, the executive staff are going to absolutely steamroll over the legislators on that committee and do whatever they please anyway. You know, if the executive were to put an equal number of legislators on there, or even close to an equal number of legislators on the committee that's going to review these things, maybe I could support it. But, you know, again, it's just at some point it's pretending that we're actually accomplishing something, and pretending that we're actually accomplishing something is worse than not doing it in the first place, because it gives our constituents the illusion that we're actually doing something. You know, a seat at the table is great, but if you've got one seat at the table and the executive's office has 10, that seat at the table is really not going to accomplish anything for the legislature.
Thank you. Deputy Ryder, before you go, let me just ask a question, because you maybe address it when you speak as well. So I heard Legislator Petit's comment about, you know, people have been waiting for this money, but is there any actual like dire need that this money is going to go towards, that if we waited a month, that it would really cause a significant impact? Are we aware of any?
This is a question towards me.
You or Deputy Kelly, either one.
You know, whether there's nonprofits out there, there's businesses out there, there are organizations out there that are hurting right now, that, you know, there's statistics nationwide, not just countywide, that organizations and businesses are going out of business every month due to, you know, expenses for COVID and other things. Am I aware of one particular organization that's going to cease if we don't get this passed this month? No. I'm not. Maybe Deputy Exec Kelly can speak more to that. But I do think that there is a little bit of urgency in this. My point that I wanted to speak to was legislators' wrong point. And that's, you know, this is the beginning of the overall ARP process for us. If we were to establish a committee that was two legislators and nine members, and I know you just threw that out there, but I think that we would probably lose much trust of this body going forward. And there's $34 million to spend over the next couple years, right? So this is the beginning of the process. I don't think we're going to do anything to sow that mistrust intentionally moving forward. And I think that there's a fair point. I think we're taking notes now. I think we're not going to try to overly stack the committee. And we're receptive to this amendment. And, you know, we're not just trying to have it be two voices that aren't going to be heard. So other than, you know, defining something else on the committee, this to me sounds like a good idea, but I'll defer to Chris.
Next, David Kelly.
I did deferral. Thank you, Mark. So I do want to reiterate Mark's point, just that, you know, if you want parity on the committee, I'm not going to assign nine people. I mean, the ARP team is here to help us administer the process. If you guys have four, we'll have four. Like, it's not about that. It's about really addressing the need. We're not, there's no stacking of the deck. This was just pushed across to us as well. So like Mark said, we're certainly receptive to it. There's no, you know, it's the beginning of this whole process for a lot of us. And I think that having legislators and members of our team from our departments as well, reviewing these is a good first step to building towards other bigger projects too. So that's our perspective.
Okay, Cahill Van Rock.
Thank you, Chairman. So there are a couple things. One is, you know, look, this is the first round. There'll be a second round of this. There'll be a second year. And if we get uncomfortable with how things are going, we can change things down the road, right? This is one allocation in the whole ARPA allocation to the county, right? This is just one. They're going to be a lot more, right? And to start off on the wrong foot in the executive branch of government would be a huge mistake for not only them, but for the county as a whole, and jeopardize our future, right? As far as getting additional ARPA money. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I am hard pressed to find major differences in our shared goals between the executive branch and the legislative branch. We are continually discussing things that we really agree on. We agree that the issues that have to be addressed are being addressed in some of the initiatives that the executive office presented. Are they exactly how the legislature would have presented them? Probably not. And if we presented them, they probably wouldn't be what the executive wished. But however, on a grand scheme of things, I think we're all about going to the same goal, right? Trying to help the same groups of people and trying to do it in an efficient way. And by the way, if we keep discussing these things over and over and over, we'll make sure that a lot of these people do go out of business, all right, and do suffer. And some of these not-for-profits do close up, because there's a time frame here. This is to help people who are struggling as a result of the COVID pandemic. And if we keep going, you know, we'll stall it long enough where nobody gets anything, and we'll be a lesser county for that. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Legislator Rock.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, you know, I heard, I don't remember if it was Mark or Chris who mentioned not wanting to sow the seeds of distrust. I mean, you know, I guess my biggest problem, and I may be the only one, and I'll just be the squeaky wheel for my last 2 years in the legislature and say that, you know, the seeds of mistrust have already been sown with me. You know, and that's my issue is that I have a large amount of distrust in the Ryan administration because of things that they've done, not because of things that I perceive, not because of things that I think might happen, but things that have happened. And here we are getting ready to write another $1.5 million check with a bunch of promises that have been in the past shown to be empty. You know, so the rest of the legislature may, you know, may be willing, you know, in worry about places closing and worry about not spending the money fast enough, like Legislator Petit said, you know, there, you know, there may be enough legislators in this body to sign a bunch of blank checks in hopes that it's going to be different this time than it was the last 17 times. You know, but until I see some real effort by this executive to work with the legislature, not to, you know, again, I you know, not to have working together being the legislature doing what he wants, but to actually work with the legislature. Because the first seed of distrust in the ARP funding that I remember was that the executive appointed all these different committees and put legislators on them to discuss how to spend the money. And then before the committees had met and before the committees had come up with their ideas, the executive came to us with a plan to spend almost $30 million of the money. You know, and that apparently wasn't enough enough of a seed of distrust for a majority of members on this committee. So again, you know, I'll spend the year being the squeaky wheel, and we can continue to write blank checks for the executive to write if that's what we want to do.
Walter?
You know, in my 2 years or so on this legislature, I think I've proven myself to be pretty critical. And I have my own reasons to feel concerns about trust with the executive's office. And that said, I feel comfortable with this. And I'll tell you, like, the adding the two members, I really appreciate, but also I'm not worried about there being more people from the executive's office and legislature, because I'm hoping that the executive's office is smart enough that it needs representation from mental health, from DSS, from housing, from different aspects of the administration that know about the different kinds of programs that need this support. And so by default, there'll be more people. I think we have, you know, who I need to trust is that our legislators who are sitting on this group are smart enough and outspoken enough who let us know if they feel they're being railroaded. And to speak to Legislator Cahill's point, especially this early, if they start railroading those two legislators at this, you know, at this early stage, it's going to come back to them. And I don't, you know, it's not a wise thing to do. So I'll just say, with this amendment, whether it's allowed or not, if the executive office is okay with it, I feel comfortable enough to move forward with this resolution.
Legislator, you should tell, and then Rock.
Thank you, Chair Gavaris. I just want to just state for the record, my understanding of the sequence of events is a little bit different than one of the previous speakers mentioned in terms of how the ARP process has unfolded. As I recall, the county executive, when it was first set in motion, reached out and came to an agreement with the prior chairman, the minority leader, the majority leader. They formed a group that was involved in I don't know what types of conversations were happening there, because when we got that plan, I think people felt it was a little bit, including those that were on the group, felt it got a little bit, you know, far out ahead. And then the process changed, and by our request, we asked for the process to change, and we asked for, you know, negotiated, and we figured out these ARP committees, and we had a couple of meetings about them. And then the new term took over, and another process, again, just like the last one, also from the legislature, another process was put in place where we have an ARP standing committee, or rather an ARP special committee. And that's the process that we're in now. But now it sounds like that process isn't, you know, some folks don't seem to be very happy with that process either. So I don't really understand what we expect the executive to do when we keep coming up with ideas for how we want this process to work. And then once the, you know, metal meets the floor or whatever, then we're not happy with the process and we're holding things up. So there are people out there that need help, and the point of this is to help the people. So if we're worried that by supporting this amendment, it's going to look like we're, you know, doing nothing, well, I can assure you that by not supporting the spending of this money and getting it in the hands of people, I don't think anyone can point to the executive's office not, you know, putting money in the hands of the wrong people or supporting the wrong project. We might not like the process, but I don't think anyone doubts their intentions. And I think, you know, many agree that this is consistent with that. So if the goal is to do nothing, you know, perhaps that's the direction that folks want to go in. I don't know.
Let's hit a rock.
Yeah, thanks. You know, just to, you know, for Legislator Uchitel's, you know, benefit of the, you know, for the last month and a half or so of this term of the legislature, these three resolutions were put in, I believe, just before the new ARP committee met. I also will tell you that last year, the agreement with the executive, the minority leader, the majority leader, and the chairman was to create those ARP subcommittees, which had individual first meetings, I believe, and then did not meet. Most of them did not meet again until after the executive came with his grand plan on, you know, what looked like, you know, like unicorn, you know, unicorn skin paper. With all kinds of really fancy graphs and charts on how to spend all of the money, you know, absent what the committees that had been agreed to by the executive had talked about. You know, there was stuff in there that we had never talked about. And that was one of the 17 or 18 times where the executive said to me, yeah, sorry, that probably wasn't the best idea. It probably wasn't the best way to work together. I'll do better next time. And if I had a dollar for my constituents for every time the executive has said to me during this term, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that way. It'll happen better next time. You know, my constituents would be pretty happy with me. You know, and again, I'm at the point now where I just can't support things and then wait to hear, I'm sorry, we'll do better next time again. I think that we as a legislature need to do it right the first time. There's a bunch of people in this meeting right now that obviously haste is more important than right, and that's fine. If that's the way you want to govern, that's the way you want to govern. It's just not the way, it's not what my constituents sent me here to do.
Any other comments? All right, I'll just say, you know, I'm sort of in a mixed feeling here. On one hand, I agree a lot with Legislator Ronk that, you know, over the last 2 years, I've been burned a lot with hoping and wishing and praying that something was going to happen, and it doesn't. But on the other side, I think Legislator Cahill makes a good point. There is a new team in place. This is a new group, and this would be a foolish move to mess the first thing up, because definitely it will set my position for the next 2 years if this doesn't go according to the way Deputy Zed Kelly just laid out. So, Legislator Ronk?
You know, it's probably futile, but I feel on behalf of my constituents I have to do it. I'll make a motion we postpone this until next month.
Have a second?
I'll second it.
Fabiano? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? 3-2. Postponement defeated. All right. On the resolution itself? Motion?
It's already been moved and seconded.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 2
opposed.
All right, thank you. 31, funding capital project 602, the ARPA infrastructure trails. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second, Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 34, authorizing issuance of additional $2.83 million.
I move that we block together 34, 36, 38, 41, unless anybody's got any objections.
Debbie's.
I would just ask that you not, that you take no action on 36 so that you do not
include that. So 34, 38, 41, 43, 54, 56, 58.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll stop there.
Okay. Motion second. Block. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. On the block?
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed? So carried. All right. Have a motion to postpone 36 then?
I'll move it.
Second. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. I'm sorry, Ken, you left the 50.
You went to 62 is the next one, Mr. 62, Chairman.
There we go. All right, thank you. Authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with New York State Housing Trust Fund Corp. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Mr. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 63, approves the execution on a contract for $800,000 for RUPCO. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Walter, discussion? Mr. Walter?
Thanks. So there was a request at our last meeting that language is added that into the resolution to address the fact that the $500,000 from ARPA really was yet to be determined. And I appreciate the effort by Deputy Executive Ryder to add that language, but since that request, seeing the actual email from the funder, my personal feeling is including that email as backup, because it was really not the resolution that was the problem, it was the backup. So for me, including that including that email with the backup is sufficient, and that I would not need the amendment, because it just needed to clarify that the funder was understanding of this. So my suggestion is we don't have the amendment and we just include that email, which I don't know if everyone saw, but I will say says quite pointedly that none of this funding is impacted by the $500,000 and that all the expectation is that going forward, if it is not obtained and provided by the county or through federal funds, that they explain what the loss to the program would have been. So that would be my preference, is that we do not add an amendment at this time.
Hey, Ryan, you had your hand up before?
No.
Debbie, say right out? Okay, sorry. All right, any other comments, questions? So as it stands right now, is that included in this or not? I don't have that in front of me. It's not. So it's just as the way it is now. Then. All right. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 69, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $150,000 family of Woodstock. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Legislator Walter, second round. Discussion? Legislator Walter?
Thank you. I've had several conversations with Deputy Executive Contreras, and also a long conversation with Michael Berg today, trying to really understand, for the sake of the full legislative body, exactly what the impact is of the $15 an hour increase, how many people are impacted, and what that breakdown is, so that we can compare those amounts to both the budget amendment and to just also understanding how many people are we impacting with these increases. So unfortunately, the closest I got to understanding the real breakdown was a phone conversation with Michael Berg just about an hour ago that was comforting. However, does not disaggregate for this particular resolution. It just says overall how many people would be impacted. And so I think we're close. I think we're like 85% to where we need to be with this resolution with the sort of backup information, but not 100%. I think it won't take long to get there. So I'm gonna just make a motion that we postpone this, especially because it's the first one we have at hand dealing with the $15 an hour increase. We have a potential other resolution that's looking to go to 20. So we need to understand how this all lays out. But again, I don't think we're far from having that breakdown. So I'm putting in a motion to postpone this till next month.
Second? I'll second it. Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 75, amending 2022 Ulster County budget reflect public health emergency preparedness funding. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Senator Cahill, second. Wrong. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. So carried. Resolution 91, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $230,000 in family of Woodstock.
I'll move it.
Sorry, second, Legislator Cahill, discussion. Legislator Walter.
Legislator Cahill can go first. I'll go second.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. So I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for getting me the information I needed to Probation Director Schmidt. I was a little confused on how this was broken out. We got a pretty good backup on how this actually played out, and I'm much more comfortable with how this was constructed this year. And it looks like, you know, it was just a increase in services and an increase in cost to Family of Woodstock based on that, if I understand it correctly now. So I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for getting us that information.
You're welcome.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 95, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to create a full-time deputy medical examiner. I'll make the motion with an amendment to create the full-time position, but eliminate part-time position, which will be a net increase of $27,018 to the budget.
Is that including benefits?
Amber? Yes. Yes, Ken.
Okay.
I'll make that motion. Second, Legislator Walter, discussion? All right, Legislator Walter and then Ronk.
Yeah, so I appreciate the executive's office having this flexibility. It is challenging adding a job in outside of the budget period, although recognize, as we were told several times from Dr. Smith, that there was an unexpected loss to this this office at the end of the year. I definitely felt the pressure this office is on to do the work that they're trying to do. And I no doubt would expect that we may hear for the 2023 budget the need for more staff. But at this point, I got reassurance from that this would definitely help the current situation they're in. It won't be surprising to me if we're going to need to further support this office once it comes to the next budget.
Say it wrong.
Thanks. To me, I mean, I feel like this is a continual process. With the same thing happened with the new director of budget and innovation. All of a sudden at the last minute, the executive's office comes back with, well, we need this position, which is way more, and a management position, and deputy director of assistant to the general manager, all these positions that they come up with, but we can take out this lesser position, and it's just, it's almost like they put them there in order for us to be able to get a little something at the end and eliminate them. With all due respect, we need in an administration where the chief executive talks all the time about innovation, there seems to be very little innovation going on. And here we are again, raising the budget, increasing the number of high paid staff in management positions, and not having a plan for the future in the department. And Legislator Walter, I think, said it perfectly. They're definitely going to come back to us for more money for this department in the fall. After coming to us for more money, in the spring. And it's the same thing that the DA's office did to us last year. It's the same reason why this budget was so exponentially higher than the previous budget. We added more money and more staff to this budget than I've added. Yeah, that I've seen added since I've been a legislator for this is my 15th year in the legislature, and everyone was okay with it. I mean, I voted no on the budget, but and it's things like this. And again, with all due respect, there needs to be a plan, and this legislature needs to stand up and stop voting yes on these piecemeal items until there's an actual plan. I will continue to vote no on piecemeal items like this until there's an actual plan for success for this department and any other department.
Thank you. Let's see, Walter, I'll go to you in a second. I just want to take a second and I want to thank Deputy Director Contreras because she's worked very, very hard on this. We've gone back and forth through the last week on this, and I think we've come to a place that we're both mostly comfortable with. And it doesn't end here. I just want everybody to know that the next step, which is already apparently in process, is finance is doing an evaluation of the entire department and looking at the positions and potential need. I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion that they will be back to ask for more money after some of the things that we've talked about. This may wind up saving us in the end. Of course, we don't know that until the study is done. But one of my reasons why even I supported one of the previous resolutions is it's been a pleasure working with Deputy Secretary Contreras. There was a lot of thought put into the conversation, and I appreciated it. So thank you. And Legislator Walter.
Yeah, thank you. So to be clear, this is not about innovation. It might be the end of a person's life, but these are first responders, as far as I'm concerned. And the idea of not respecting that a department that handles, who is a first responder department, that expresses how overwhelmed they are to meet the needs, I'm gonna hear that and I'm gonna respect it, just like I did for the district attorney's office, that this is not fluff jobs. These are not, and I've been with Legislator Ronk and others and questioning communications positions and innovations positions, but this is by no means in my mind anything like that. This is serious, and this is impacting people, this is impacting public health, this is impacting our overall delivery of services to our constituents, as well as doing the best we can in a public health perspective. And so I just want to disaggregate this kind of position request with something like, something in innovations or otherwise.
Deputy Secretary Contreras, and then Legislator Ronk.
Sorry about that, trying to unmute myself. I just wanted to say thank you to you, Legislator Guevaras, for your kind words. It really means a lot. And I just also wanted to say thank you to everybody for being willing to engage in this conversation. I know it's really very much out of the process to add a position outside of the budget. And so we did not put that forward lightly. And I just appreciate your willingness to give us the benefit of the doubt that we are trying to look at this in a complete way. We're trying to be very thoughtful, and that's why we're gonna come back. We want to know what the ideal state is for this budget, for this office, because it has gone through so many iterations of sort of piecing it together. And once we have a better idea of what the ideal state is, we can all decide what next step we want to take and how we want it to look. But at least we'll have a sense of what the best practice is. That's all.
Legislator Ronk.
Yeah, thanks. Just to Legislator Walter's point, I think that you misunderstood my point. My point is that they've got an entire division about innovation, and we just hired a new deputy director of budget or director of budget and innovation for, $115,000. My point is there should be some innovation going on into the plan for the medical examiner's office, not that this is like an innovation position. Believe me, you don't need to tell me about what first responders go to. And I understand that these people have to see a lot of terrible things. Believe me, I understand that. Legislator Guevaras understands that. Other people understand that. So you do not need to preach to me about what it's like to be a first responder. I'll tell you that. What I will say is that Deputy Executive Contreras just said it. I mean, she couldn't said it more perfectly for me. We need to find out what's right for this department. And to me, the time to do that is before we spend another $70,000 in benefits, not after we spend another $70,000 worth of, plus benefits. I was personally willing to fund this position for half a year until the executive's office comes up with a plan for us. Because again, this is something I've seen, and Deputy Executive Contreras, I'm sorry. This is part of my frustration is because I'm 2 years beyond my patience and my benefit of the doubt. My benefit of the doubt was exhausted a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And you and Mr. Kelly are the two newest, contestants in the benefit of the doubt game. And I just can't, you know, there's been too many times when I've been told, well, just give us the benefit of the doubt. We're going to do it right. And then we spend a bunch of money and in the end have no plan. The last time was over the summer when the executive's office came to us with $400,000+ to give to the EDA in order to market Enterprise West. And, you know, I fought and fought and fought, and we knocked the number down to what the, you know, it was the, it was the money for the appraisal and for some of the architectural fees and whatnot. And then I said, come back to us with a plan. We'll give you the rest of the money. Well, lo and behold, they must not have needed that money because it never came back again. And it's 8 months later. Again, this is an area where if everyone's comfortable saying, okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt for the 17th time, you know, but don't do us wrong this time. I mean, eventually you got to say to yourself, maybe it's me. Maybe we should just disband the legislature and the executive can run the government however he wants. I mean, that's what's happening anyway. I don't know. I know it sounds in my voice, but I'm getting increasingly frustrated with this legislature's inability to stand up for what our responsibility is under the charter.
Any other comments? All right. All those in favor with the amendment? Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Two opposed. All right. Motion is carried. Thank you. There's some resolutions that'll be coming next month, so just look at those. And
we need to vote on the resolution.
Oh, you're right.
Also, we're going to need to make that amendment on the floor because it's the night of session. We can't amend in committee in the night of session.
Yep. All right. All those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Two opposed.
Opposed.
Thank you. Motion's carried. Thank you. Deputy Ziegler-Ryder? No? All right. Comptroller Gallagher, anything?
Thank you. I'll be brief. We released a sales tax report for 2021 yesterday. We, after receiving the last payment from the state on Friday, totaled out $154.9 million for 2021 in sales tax receipts. That is $34.3 million above budget and a 22% increase over 2020. Granted, the budgeted number you guys set for 2021 was low because of the pandemic. And I don't want to take a lot of time here now, but I want to just say that I think especially this committee, Ways and Means, should be thinking in the future about other ways to steward these funds, both on the investment side, but also considering other reserve funds like a retirement contribution reserve fund, a snow and ice removal reserve fund, road repair reserve fund, in addition to the reserve funds that we already have, like the tax stabilization reserve fund and capital reserve fund. So I'll be back to you more on that later, but I just wanted to put it out there. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, nobody has anything else? A motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Walter, second, Ronk. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, everyone, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.